Okay.
Hi, mamas. It's Danielle Goss, otherwise known as the Boobie Fairy, and welcome to another episode of the Boobie Fairy's Guide to Breastfeeding. Today we have Lori Hendrickson, who is a cranial sacral therapist who's been in practice since 2001. And I have been following Lori's work actually for several months now and am super impressed with all the fun techniques that you do and just making it so simple. So I wanted to have Lori come on here today and just dive into the nitty gritty that is cranial sacral therapy. So welcome, Lori. How are you?
Hi, Danielle. I'm great. I'm braving the heat here in Minnesota, which we get about 6 days a year.
Ooh, girl, I hear ya. I'm a Vegas girl, born and raised, but I live in California, and I will tell you that dry heat's way better than humid heat. So I'm sure it's not pleasant out where you are. Goodness.
It's not.
Good. And bear with my,
thanks for that.
Yeah. I'm a little nasally today. Bear with me. My daughter decided to get a cat who lives with us and, I'm allergic.
So. Oh no, no.
Joys of parenting. She's 20, but still it's like, why the things we do.
Oh, she comes with gifts. Yes. Isn't that true?
She does. It's all right. It's a good thing. She's cute. Love it.
That's right.
Well, let's dive in. I love that you're like off the cuff, like I am, because I have like a squirrel brain and we just kind of go a mile a minute, but why don't we start by you just kind of explaining what cranial sacral therapy is?
Okay, well, for anyone that is new to the field, if you think about it, you can really think about it in a simple term. Think about it as an independent system that articulates with other anatomical systems in the body, like the respiratory system, the cardiovascular system. But the craniosacral system is really comprised of cerebral spinal fluid, the folks in the tentorium in the brain, the fascia, diaphragmatic membranes, and it has its own rhythm. And that rhythm is the craniosacral, the cerebrospinal fluid coursing from up and down the dural tube. So it's rushing up the dural tube into the cranium and back down like a rushing river, very hydraulic in nature. And every time that rushing river comes up the spinal column into the brain, it's delivering messages from the organs. And then when the river comes back down, it's delivering hormonal responses from the brain. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Which is
it
a great.
It doesn't have to be as complicated.
Oh, I know. And I think we all try to overcomplicate things in life, especially when it comes to our babies. I know whenever I'm posting an exercise that I do, and I just, you know, I actually was going to school to become a cranial sacral therapist right when the pandemic hit, and then it all went to hell in a handbasket.
I know.
But it's, but I mean, I kind of knew basics anyway, just from my background. And when I came to and saw you at your workshop, I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Cause a lot of the stuff that I was just doing, I didn't even realize was some of the stretches you were teaching. And I always saw benefits,
right,
but didn't quite, you know how to explain that to the families of like, I know this works, not quite sure why it works. I just know it does. And the babies get better. And, you know,
yes.
I loved your explanation of it being like cling wrap. On with the babies.
Yes. Like press and seal.
Yes. And it makes so much sense. You know, I, after your, so I saw you of course, down in the one in, I believe, was it Huntington Beach or coast around in Orange County?
Oh, Orange County.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was down there and, I actually like took part of your video and I posted it on my TikTok and Instagram, or I have a bigger following, and your video went viral in like a matter of like minutes. And it's always so fascinating to me to get, because you get all spectrums, right? You'll get people like, what is this pseudoscience garbage? And then you'll get the people of like, oh my gosh, where are the stats to back up all of this? And in the back of my head, I'm like, if we know it works and the babies get better,
it's okay. It's okay to do it without having 1,000 studies to back it up. Anyway, but yes, that's one of my favorite things. It's okay. Like it's, if it's working and it's something and the baby gets better, don't question it. It's good. It's a good thing. And you did a beautiful job in explaining that to these families and breaking it down. Now I know in your bio, you talked a lot about, you deal a lot with, of course, cranial, hello, Danielle, see, squirrel brain, torticollis, plagiocephaly, and listeners, what basically that means is torticollis is when you see a baby's head tilting to one side, which is usually due to some form of trauma, like birth, and you might be able to explain it from a different perspective too, Lori. In my world, whenever I see torticollis or plagiocephaly, which is the, you know, the shifting of the bony plates, mamas, to where you see those little sweet ones with almost helmets on their noggins after a while because of the flat spots. I saw a massive increase related to all of that with oral ties, and ties are my specialty. How does that cross and correlate into your world? Have you seen an increase in it?
Well, yes. What happened in my world, Danielle, was torticollis and plagiocephaly, along with acid reflux and terrible sleep habits and difficulty breastfeeding. This all happened in my world at the turn of the century when the back to sleep recommendation started. We, you know, before that, we would have babies come in and they would respond so beautifully and spontaneously to the craniosacral protocol. And if anyone has seen that, it's a sight to see, where babies kind of retrace with their tissue and their muscles and their fascia, their experience in utero and through birth. But we stopped seeing that because babies were so tight, caught in extension. And then we realized, in order to get that kind of natural response from the protocol, we needed to address babies' tight fascia and muscles first. And that's where the stretching was born, probably 2002 or 2003. We realized we needed to flex and soften these babies before they would respond so beautifully and to the protocol, you know, without just being tight and stiff and flat and arching on the table when you set them down.
Sure. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's, we've gotten so far away from trusting babies' instincts of, they do not like being on their back. They really don't. And I was so, you know, excited to see, you know, that of course the back to sleep all came with the SIDS increase, et cetera. And it was a thought process. We could put it that way. Yes. However, when you understand the baby's anatomy and their neurological responses, it makes zero sense. So we, you know, and I do a lot of acupressure in my work, and because I believe in honoring the baby's pressure points along, you know, the spinal column. So like I refer to it do and the do, where you have the do pressure point between the shoulder blades, and then you have the do two, which is between the coccyx and the anus, which you oftentimes press on. And it's, when I kind of explain it to these families of like, when you're putting pressure, you know, when you're pressing that calming switch, if you will, the babies, you can see it immediately respond. And they're getting away from their reflexes. And, you know, I have correlated a lot of the symptoms you described with tongue ties. And I don't know so much that tongue ties are a new thing as it is a new discovery. I mean, we certainly have epigenetic changes that have caused an increase in this. We're starting to pay attention. You know, what doctors were calling colic, which I don't personally call it, is just undiagnosed crying. Like, babies don't cry just to cry. There's always a reason. That term drives me banana pants. But when it really does, I'm like, so I could
go on.
Right. The rabbit trail girl, I could go off on that one. And you know, the change with the MTHFR gene mutation, which is increasing our tie ratio. it's more of a discovery versus anything. And I think they just go hand in hand, but it's trying to figure out how to get them past this. So like, in your opinion, do you think all, I mean, what is your take on all of that? Cause like, I know like in like reflux and that, in my opinion, it has a lot to do with how the baby can't create the seal. Well, if their cranial sacral, you know, the river, if you will see, isn't flushing,
that's yes,
issues everywhere. For sure.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
As far as the chicken, what came first, the chicken or the egg, as far as ties and plagiocephaly and how they all kind of make the perfect storm together, I don't think it matters as much. I'm sure we could figure that out. But
right,
what really matters and what's important to know is that they exacerbate one another. So if you have a baby coming in who is, you know, tummy slapped and a beautiful round head and, you know, otherwise pretty soft diaphragmatic membranes, you know, tummy and whatever, but they're tied so badly and tightly that they can't get a good latch. They can't organize their suck. Mom is so sore. She's kicking her foot like a dog every time the baby latches on. That's one thing. Okay. That's mm-hmm. bad enough. You put that baby on its back to sleep at night. And even worse, if it won't sleep on its back, then parents are told to swaddle the baby. So in my opinion, that's rendering them immobile.
Yes.
So they render them immobile, throw them on their back. Babies sleep better than, well, except that parents of mine say they don't call it sleeping. They call it kind of checking out, you know?
Oh, totally.
So you put the two together. And it's, everything is made worse. It's bad enough if you have a baby without any of these connective tissue problems or cranial problems. But then when they have both, it's just parents are really struggling. Families are struggling because babies are so uncomfortable in their bodies.
Right. And they don't have a, and we're living in the generation in the world of where Google's at our fingertips. You know, Dr. Google is my nemesis in life. I'm always telling families, let me be your Google. Let me be your Google, please.
Yes.
it's crazy. I mean, and like to go back, it's true. Like the chicken and egg, it doesn't really matter. We just need to get these kiddos better bottom line and change our practices.
Yes.
I think it's a lot of it is we have a lack of education or there's conflicting information. So no one knows who to trust. And then it's a matter of social acceptance and norm. And then going along with those changes that we're seeing in, you know, you had mentioned like a connective tissue disorder, which triggered like a ding ding in my brain. Both my kids, myself, have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Do you know what that is?
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it. Is it where there's too much play in the connective tissue?
Correct. So it's a connective tissue disorder or syndrome where you're almost hyperflexible and or hypermobile, or you are double jointed. But the problem along with that is that you can easily dislocate. You can easily have all, it's like the cascading event. And what I've discovered is that it often has correlated a lot with so many other neurological symptoms in regards to we'll metabolize medications faster or therapies faster. They don't hold as much.
Sure.
And I've seen a huge increase in that as well. And so I'm wondering, is there an age that CST works better at, or like if you start, is it one of the, I guess what I'm trying to say, is it one of those modalities where you can do it a couple times and you're good to go? Or is it something like a chiropractic adjustment where you should keep coming?
That's a really good question. And there isn't an all-inclusive answer to that. So it just depends on the baby and it depends on the mama baby or mama baby daddy family unit. It is always so unique. But as far as when do I like to get babies, when do I love to get them? I like to get them right away. Right when they're born, if they've had a traumatic birth or an easy birth, their bodies are they're ripe for the journey. Do you know right. what I'm saying?
Totally.
They're ready and they haven't been impaired yet. So many of the things that might show up in the next few weeks aren't really a huge problem for the most part. You know, yes, you have those babies that right out of the chute, they're so tied that they can't latch. And immediately there's a problem because they're not gaining weight. And if they were born in the hospital, then that's a huge thing. So they've been bottle fed, whether it's pumping or formula. So there's that whole shit show, which is separate, really, in my mind, from getting the baby right away, seeing what's going on, what the baby can express before the baby is inhibited by either mm-hmm. back sleeping or too much intervention with, you know, maybe some bad help. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. Absolutely.
Yes.
And I think a lot of these yeah. babies, and then the parents are just so overwhelmed, they don't know where to turn.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And then you have the increase in postpartum depression. It's a whole hot mess. I will say, when you said that they kind of check out, I call it like they're playing possum.
Yes.
You know, I see that a lot when latching a baby when parents go to latch a baby and these moms are going to the baby. So these babies are on their back and you see them kind of do that like frantic back to forth and, you know, their nipples like the dangling carrot as they're trying to latch on. And then they play possum, right? Like you see them like snap and they're like, okay, arms are in a fist clenched, their heads tilt. And the parents are like, oh crap, now they're asleep. You go put them down, they cry again. And there's just no, it's like the game of telephone. Like by the time you get the message to the provider, it's turned around into something completely different. And which is why I appreciate so much what you're doing. But it is like, if we can get the families to understand, your babies will tell you everything, especially with body language. We just have to know what to look for. And it's a lot of what you say totally makes sense. What goes into a session with you? Because like I've watched you and you always like the baby suck obviously plays a massive role, correct?
Right. When I'm doing the protocol, yes. You know, but you know, I'm lucky to be able to do that in a first session anymore. Usually a typical day for me in clinic is stretching these babies. And I use the word stretching loosely for people that are fascia geeks. They know that fascia doesn't stretch. Just, you know, stay with me. Bending baby, getting baby softer. Really, Danielle, to tell you the truth, it's handing power back to these parents. And really encouraging them to claim it, because I'm not blaming. I don't like the blame game, right? Yes. All of us, you know, as consumers have given it up in some way or another. And we really need to get our gut intuitions back, because when these moms and dads come to me and I talk to them and I show them about, you know, here is, this is your baby. This is what's going on. And they're not surprised. Moms, most of the time, are saying, oh my gosh, that's what I felt the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a girl, say it again today, peanut gallery in the back, girl, bringing it back to their intuition. Yes. Oh man, that is like my biggest point I try to encourage moms and dads alike, but trust your gut. Like, you know your kid better than anyone ever will. And if I had a dollar for every time I had a family come in and be like, I was right. Oh my gosh, I knew something was wrong. I was like, yes, good. Absolutely. High five. You know, like, of course you were.
Yes.
And I share the story of my own. Like, my kids have had really weird conditions. One, my eldest daughter had a condition called MALS, which is median articulate ligament syndrome. So basically her diaphragm, which will interest you, sat 3 centimeters too low and cut off her celiac plexus artery. So she had like 10% blood flow to her digestive tract. When she went through puberty and she got boobs, it like pushed everything down. Well, you know, I've always been a proponent of like, think outside the box. And we get, you know, a lot of doctors and hospitals, et cetera, especially in pediatrics, they get so stuck in that box. And I actually had a doctor look at me after I was like, something is wrong. You're missing something. Do better. you need to learn humility in medicine, Danielle, and wrap your head around the idea this is just functional. And I thought I was going to lose my ever-loving mind. I lost my shit that day in the hospital. But had I not listened to my mom gut, she would not be alive. And it was literally Grey's Anatomy that saved her life, truthfully. We were watching Grey's Anatomy, which I always think is a big hoot. And I was oh my God, that's totally season 15, episode 5. And sure enough, so listening to your intuition as a mom is so crucial and important. Oh my goodness.
Right. Well, yes, it is. And you know, that also demands time. Yes. I feel as if families are so rushed right now, and it's all about the numbers on the scale, weighted feeds. And I get it. You know, I don't want babies to die, but I've been doing this for over 20 years now. And before that, I was still in that world, helping moms, home birth, you know, community. And we always gave a nursing pair time. You didn't get out of your 90, you know, for that first at least month. You were home, you were grounded, you were bare-breasted with your baby, and that isn't typical anymore. And so there are many moms that will come in, and I'm just saying moms now to make this simple. You know, moms usually are bringing the babies in. I love it when dads come, but parents are bringing their babies in, and I am turning them around, and I'm putting them back to bed.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Just make it awesome to see. Simple. Yes.
So when a family comes to see you, what's it look like from when they walk through your door, et cetera?
Well, I have the advantage of my referral base. So they're being referred by midwives, pediatric dentists in my area, or chiropractors. So they're already open. And they're driving to my house. That's where I work. And it's in a rural area. People drive for hours. So they're pretty much ready to listen to whatever I have to say. So I'm just going to be completely open with that part of it. I have it easy as far as that goes. I'm not in the convincing business, and I don't have to be. So they'll come, they know what's happening, because in order to come to me, there's going to be a little bit of a wait. So I always direct them to my social media, not to follow me, but I want them to look, because they're going to recognize their baby when they do that. And then start those stretches. It's not rocket science. Start working on your baby, and you're going to have a better baby before you even get to me.
It's true. And they're very easy. One thing that's always my favorite is when in new families, especially like their first baby, when they realize the babies aren't going to break, you know, you can bend them. They're flexible. Like you're not going to hurt them. And you know, I'm of course doing all sorts. I've seen you like when yours, my favorites, watching you kind of flip the babies kind of in half in a way, like with their chest and their rib cage. I've done that before, but I was like, oof, I got to wait and make sure this family isn't going to get freaked out on me. But I'm like, just don't worry, just watch and learn. And you see the baby go, what the hell? But then all of a sudden it's like relief, you know? It's so fun. But it's like once you can kind of realize, okay, I'm not going to break them. Oh my gosh, this is going to make them so much better. And I love what you said about fascia, of how, yes, it's like cling wrap, but you can loosen it. It's not necessarily going to stretch. Yes. And I think that's the hardest thing for families to understand. Same thing with like a tie. It's a collagenous fiber. It's not going to stretch.
Right.
Our bodies learn to compensate, but we can help it out a lot. And watching a CST, you know, session, I tell families, I'm like, it looks like you're watching grass grow. Like you don't see what's happening, but what's happening is enormous. So you do good work, girl.
And more of that enormous thing happens when that baby is softened up. And so what happens when they come to me, they've already hopefully done some of the exercises. They're already seeing that the baby is softer and more yielding, happier in its body. But then when I do the stretches, just because I'm more experienced, I do it all the time.
Sure.
The baby, even after that first session, is so much better. That's all they need for convincing. they know they need to go home. They're going to do this series of stretches 3, 4, 5 times a day if they can do it. And that baby turns around so much faster because they could come to me and pay me every single day, maybe, if they can get on the schedule. But yeah. The baby needs so much more than that. That's why I really, my huge ministry and purpose is to keep families independent of my care, because these babies need this work on and off all day long.
Preach.
And then they can come back if they want some cranial sacral protocol experience when the baby is more receptive to that. Does that make sense, Danielle?
Absolutely. I know. I love you said ministry. That's how I kind of look at lactation. Is that yes. I am not in the business of come and see me 8 times. Like if I could do this for free, I would, you know, and I'm all, it all boils back down to empowering these moms and realizing you have the ability to heal and do this to your own baby. And I don't want you to come see me more than once. I would love for this kiddo to have to only come once and then take the tools and go home. You know, that's, I look at it as a ministry as well. And I was like, if you need me, I'm always here. But you have the, I have families will be like, oh my gosh, you know, everything changed. You're like the fifth one. I'm like, all I did, girl, was give you the toolbox. You're the one who's using it.
Yes. So,
and that's how I wish we had more. If we can just get in that mindset, it would be so much. You and I practice a lot. I was so fascinated by you. It was great. how long? So you've been doing this for 20 years, you said. What got you into it?
Well, I was doing some freelance technical writing for a company called Deluxe Check here in the St. Paul, Minneapolis area. And then on a side job, I was, you know, people would hire me to, edit their, I had a school district superintendent hire me to edit his stuff. And then I had a woman come and ask me to edit her book. And she had written a book about cranial sacral therapy and babies and pregnancy. And so when I was done with that, I said, hey, instead of paying me, can I just take your courses? Because she was an instructor. And that's what I did. That was 1999. And then I went to work in a clinic right after that, an alternative therapy clinic in Minneapolis. And I've been working on babies and moms, well, people of all ages, but specifically pediatrics for all this time.
Girl, where were you when I needed someone to edit my book? Not that you're doing that anymore.
I was doing this work instead.
Which is way more important. Way more important. I published 2 books last year, and like the editing process alone is just like, it's so much. My goodness. I love that.
Well, this is much more fun than editing.
Oh, so it's so much more fun. Absolutely. And I just love how God has a sense of humor and is like, just kidding. Now we're going to do this now. I love that so much.
Right.
Right. You think you're a theater major? Just kidding, Danielle. You're going to go look at boobies all day. So it's awesome. I love that. And then of course, you probably have been able to, I mean, it's just the amount of families you touch is pretty fascinating. And you're now offering workshops, which is fabulous. What method, I know there's many different methods. Like when I was looking to do this, the only one that I really could find was the Upledger method, but I feel like it's overly complicated. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
But it's almost,
it is,
it doesn't, it need is, to be but that I mean, complicated.
Go ahead.
So how,
no,
what was
it
the,
doesn't need to be,
like what was the licensing process for you, or like how you get there? Well, how would one become
there
one?
Isn't one? Just okay. Just so everyone's aware, there is no governing body in the United States yet for to be quote unquote certified in this. Now, if you want to say that you're Upledger certified, you better take Upledger courses, right?
Right. Right.
But you don't have to be. It's not like massage therapy or chiropractic work or even what you're doing. You know, there's no governing body. So in order to be trained, you're kind of on your own. And Upledger has the biggest profile. It's the one that's out there that everyone sees, right? But it is expensive, and you have to take, I mean, if you want to be completely certified, there's all the levels, and there's nothing bad about that. But what I want people to know is that there is a practical side to craniosacral therapy that is more available to practitioners than all of that. And that's what I teach in my workshop. So I teach, my workshops are all about how tight these babies are and how caught in extension they are. And yes, there's craniosacral 101. As you know, everyone learns the protocol, and then it's your job to hone that knowledge. You know, you learn the touch, how nice and gentle, very gentle that is. That's major. And then you're given all the rest of the tools, the range of motion of each bone, all of the suture lines, how the craniosacral system works with the other systems in the body, all of that. But, you know, my goal is to really make it accessible to people that are comfortable using it.
Yeah. It's beautiful to watch these kiddos just, that's actually really encouraging in a way, because that means like more people could actually go and, you know, learn from you, which I definitely want to come to more workshops because I'm a visual learner. So I was like, I was soaking in as much as I could that day. And I'm like, I'm coming back, girl. And then I was like, I gotta have her on my podcast. This is too cool. I love that so much. Well, I'm glad to know that there's other options, because you're right, it's expensive and it's consuming. And when you get down to the nitty gritty of helping babies, it's not as complicated in the sense of what they're making it to be. And I firmly believe in being in the business of helping versus making everything monetary, as we get away from that pseudoscience title, which again, if it works and they get better, we work with it, which is awesome.
Right.
So true.
Right. Well, and there's no harm done.
Exactly. And that's the one thing I try to get. You're not going to hurt the baby. It's only going to help the baby, which is amazing. So as I know we're running out of time, I don't want to take up too much of your time. Where can our families learn more about you?
I think it's just the social media platforms. You know, some people like Facebook. I think that's a harder platform to really see my stuff in a glance than Instagram. So I'm on Instagram and Facebook, Lori Hendrickson CST. I have a wonderful assistant, Hannah, that does most of that for me. But just glancing at that, you'll be able to see events. You see where I'm teaching. I'm in Atlanta this coming weekend. That workshop is full, but I've got Ohio and Wisconsin and Michigan all coming up.
And you do offer like online, like you can log in and watch you virtually as well, right?
Yes, I have an online class. It was a class that we offered during COVID that we taped, and that's available too for purchase. If somebody wants a resource, there's 5 hours of me teaching that you can have, you know, to use as you're working on your practice. So that's available too, but nothing replaces hands-on learning when it comes to this kind of work. As you know, you've been to my workshop.
It's fantastic. You've become one of my favorite people in the world. I just love watching what you do.
Danielle.
And I want to be a mini you one day. I'm going to learn. I'm going to go take that 5-hour course.
Do it.
I do. I am. I'm going to learn more, because, and families, like, seriously, go check her out, because a lot of the stretches that you can do them now. Like, you know, you can learn now and fix your baby now. So those of you who are listening,
if parents are the ones listening to this mostly, Danielle,
sure,
they can go to, if Facebook is your platform, go to Facebook, go to my page, tap on videos, then you're going to be in the vortex of health. So you just scroll down just a little bit and you'll see a stretches section. And those are my core stretches. And those videos, they're fine. You will learn from them. But just remember, they're just some tired mom videotaping me on her iPhone, right?
Right.
If you want a more comprehensive experience with stretches, I have that too in my link tree. But if you're on Instagram, all you have to do is go to the highlight section and tap on stretches highlight, and they're right there for you as well. So all of that's free. Yeah.
That's amazing. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on here, Lori. Is there one last piece of advice you'd give to mamas? that are making babies these days?
Yes, I would. Take back your power and listen to your grandma.
Amen. That's the best I could ever say. Yes. I love it. Well, thank you, yes. Lori. I appreciate you coming on here on your busy schedule and making time for these families. Mamas, you heard it here. Listen to your gut and listen to your grandma. That's it for this episode. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.